What you are about to hear is a labor of love. Our love is for the music, and the music is for the people. We at Rock Strikes 10 and CNJRadio.com have always recommended that any music we promote on our shows be legally purchased, downloaded, or streamed. We feel this way not only for our network of shows, but for all music-based shows. By supporting the artist in this way, more music can be created, and the industry as a whole can prosper. The music is owned by their respective labels, or hopefully by the artists themselves. This broadcast is owned by CNJRadio.com. Our only mission is to promote the music we love and promote the legal purchase of it. Enjoy the show and turn it up.
Welcome to Rock Strikes 10!
Welcome to Rock Strikes 10, the show guaranteed to always give you 10 songs, no more, no less. My name is Joey. I want to thank everybody for tuning into the show here today, especially if you're doing it at the central station of CNJRadio.com. All right, so if you are a loyal friend of the show and been listening, you know, forever how long, or even just the last few months, it looks like I haven't been away. To me, it feels like I've been away for an entire month because I haven't recorded a show, actually, for an entire month. So that being said, I'm really glad I banked all of the odds and ends episodes of the decade before I got really, really sick at the end of the holidays. Started right after Christmas, and it seems to be a yearly thing now. I just get, as they call it, the crud, and it just mutated into a chest infection and a sinus infection, and it was real bad for a while. It took literally almost this entire month to get better, to feel normal, to feel motivated. But I'm here. I want to thank all of my longtime friends and listeners of the show here for your patience. I know I promised this 10-parter at the beginning of the year, so it's a little late. Once again, please accept my humble apologies, and I do appreciate you so much. All right, so this episode has literally been about 10 years in the making. I started this podcast around 2011, the middle of it or so. And as it's gone on, I realized, I need to start kind of reviewing these new albums. And I came up with a new twist on a great idea, something that Michael Butler of the Rock and Roll Geek Show started, where he started just ranking the album reviews like by a point system, just 1 point for each song, or if it was okay, half point, if it wasn't, zero. So I took that and I changed it up just a little bit with permission, and I started the Rock and Rank series here on the show. So trying to come up with a top 100 of the decade, man, I have a new respect for anybody who actually takes the time to make this kind of list and want to make it a great list. I'm sure some people put out lists and they just put it together, you know, out of thin air, but man, this thing was painstaking. What a chore it is to make a top 100 list. Woof. So whenever the next decade comes around, I will totally have this thing figured out. It'll be so cool. So I took the Rock and Rank point system as a guide. I basically re-listened to everything from the last 10 years that I thought, you know, would at least be nomination worthy of being on this list. Re-listened everything, rescored it even, and used the point system as a guide to make this list. Big thanks to my better half, Nola, for being the statistician of this list, because I needed one. Needed some reeling in, too. And I promise we'll get to the music here in a minute. I just wanted to explain this, so please stick with me if you are a first-time listener. Promise it gets better. So once we had all the points in place and everything, it turned into about 350 records listed. Now we gotta make cuts. So, you know, we took some of the points and cut it off at a certain point, and then once we did that, we got rid of about another 100 albums and change. So it took, like, an entire week for me to make the list off of the cuts, and to have to make cuts beyond that to get it down to 100 was so painstaking and super heartbreaking. I left off some amazing records off of this top 100, proof that rock is not dead. I will definitely make apologies for not including certain artists as we go here on the list. In the middle of each episode of this massive epic 10-parter, I'll be doing a little bit of a halftime show to let you know what I cut off of the list year by year, records I think you should still check out that have some meaning and some quality to them. These are the best of the best, the cream of the crop, Five Guys double cheeseburger with hot sauce. Okay, getting to the music here. I say all that to say this, just to prove that I'm not fucking around here and that this isn't going to be an average bullshit list If you know anything about me, I'm about to drop a bomb on you. Just making the cut at number 100. Alice Cooper. Yes, Alice Cooper. An album he put out on September 13th of 2011 called Welcome to My Nightmare, number 2. I was going to say this is a long-awaited sequel, but honestly, I wasn't asking for a sequel to this. Welcome to My Nightmare is probably my favorite album of all time, probably tied with Purple Rain at this point. It's a tremendous 5-star album that everybody must own. That being said, obviously, if you're doing a sequel to this album, especially something like over 35 years later, it's probably not going to meet expectations. But I definitely was optimistic about my first listen on this, and I liked my first listen. It definitely has its flaws. It's not a perfect album in the way that the original is, but it does have a lot of cool bright spots on it, and just enough to make it here onto the list. Top 100. Yes, my favorite artist of all time, who may return again on this list, who knows? But this is number 100, Alice Cooper, Welcome to My Nightmare. And of course, as we go through the list here, we're going to play what I consider to be either the best song on the album or the song that best represents the album. This is probably my overall favorite song on the album, but I do have a few. But this is definitely in the top 3, and you got to kick off the show with a strong one, right? So here you go. And I haven't played this on the show yet, which is surprising. Instantly likable, catchy song here. Alice's nod to the Stones. This is I'll Bite Your Face Off.
By surprise.
kicking off this episode in our epic 10-part best of the last decade in rock albums. Not only was that Alice Cooper with I'll Bite Your Face Off, but that was actually the surviving original members of the original Alice Cooper group. Alice Cooper, right there on vocals, Michael Bruce on guitar and piano, Dennis Dunaway on bass, and Neil Smith on the drums, a band that I had the pleasure of seeing them perform a small set in a very intimate setting. The highlight of my entire decade in rock right there, for sure. There you go. Yeah, Alice, I'll Bite Your Face Off. Love that song. I think it's instantly lovable, and I'm glad that he still plays it live occasionally. I hope you like that. Once again, Alice is my favorite artist of all time. He's number 100 on this list. Once again, proof that I'm not screwing around here. Okay, I thank you for listening to my very long intro to get to the first song there, and I won't be as long on the other ones, of course. We're going to get back into the music here. Before we get to the next one, I should have mentioned that also that Alice album was produced by the great Bob Ezrin, one of the great producers of all time. I say that because I'm actually going to give proper stats and give you the producer name on each one. I figured that is the respectful thing to do, as someone who knows a thing or two about being a producer and an engineer on an album. They definitely deserve the credit as well. All right, so speaking of that, number 99 was an album produced by Mark Neal, Danger Mouse, and the Black Keys. So of course, obviously, I would hope it would be a Black Keys album. Yes, it is. Coming in at number 99 is the Black Keys with an album they put out right at the beginning of the decade on May 18th, 2010, an album called Brothers. Now, I've even played some tracks from people who claim they're not Black Keys fans, which, you know, I don't see how people can really hate this band. You know, maybe at worst they don't excite you, I suppose. And they're not a bad band in any way. They're definitely traditionalists. But I really enjoyed this decade of output that the Black Keys had, for sure. And Brothers, I kept going back to it. It's just got a great sound to it, a great feel. I really like the songs on it. And, you know, I know the people that are like old school, quote unquote, old school fans of the Black Keys that don't like this Danger Mouse era. But I gotta say, they got better to me working with Danger Mouse. He just had that kind of ear that made the albums even more vintage sounding to me. And I just liked them better, you know, more classic sounding, in my opinion. They didn't just sound like, you know, an atypical white boy blues thing. And nothing wrong with their white boy blues, but like I said, I think he just took the songs and the overall albums to another level. For me, personally, it's my list. So yeah, it was one of those, like, love at first listen things. So that being said, I'm going to play you the first track on the album. Great bouncy track here. It's one of those ones you put on if you're going to go walking. Put it on the iPod. Really gives you a little extra stride here. So here you go. This is the Black Keys with Everlasting Light.
Everlasting light.
Black Keys right there with Everlasting Light from their album Brothers, the 99th best album of the last decade there. So yeah, and anything, even the stuff here on 100 through 91 that you're listening to on this episode, I didn't even mention this at the top of the show when I was talking about using the point system as a guide. I think the cutoff points, like the lowest score on here, and I don't even know what number it is or what album it is on here because I don't have the points in front of me, honestly, but I think like 84 or 85 points was probably the lowest score out of 100 that appears here on this list. So anything that you hear at all on the top 100 here are super records. So I recommend all of them. And of course, as we said at the top of the show, we always recommend you buy your stuff because you will appreciate it more. And of course, the artist will as well. That's what it's all about here. Keep making good quality music. Let's move over to number 98, a band that supposedly went on their last big major world tour this decade. And I was lucky to see one of the Dallas dates when they came through here. A band that always delivered the groceries live and mostly on wax was Slayer, you know, part of the big four of thrash, an iconic heavy metal band. They really truly changed the game for better or worse. I'm a big Slayer fan, and I think they went out on a high note as far as albums go. If this is truly their last album, you know, it's the Motorhead AC/DC double cheeseburger effect. You kind of know what you're getting on a Slayer album. And they delivered once again. Now I'm called Repentless, that came out on September 11th, 2015. Now I actually know for a fact that God Hates Us All, one of their best albums ever, came out also on September 11th, back in 2001. So I thought that was I guess it was a major coincidence that they went with that release date. Who knows? Maybe it was on purpose. I don't know. But yeah. Got it the day it came out. Had a really killer CD Blu-ray package with an entire full-length concert from the Wacken Festival. I recommend getting that version especially, of course. I also have it on vinyl, so I do enjoy this record quite a bit. And I really enjoy the last lineup of the band here, too. The Gary Holt, Paul Bostoff lineup. Of course, I love me some Dave Lombardo, and massive rest in peace to Jeff Hanneman. But, you know, this is a strong-ass lineup. They can totally pull it off live, and they sound great on record. So, yeah, no excuses. It's still freaking Slayer! So, yeah, if I can remember these things right before I play the song or around the time that I play them, you gotta go look up the video for this. It's a hard R rating for sure. Probably the most violent video I've ever seen that I've enjoyed. So go look it up or pause it or however you want to do it here, but just make a note to watch the uncensored video for this. So this is Slayer and the title track from their possibly farewell album, Repentless. We'll be right back. I hope you cranked that one the fuck up. That was Repentless by Slayer. Slayer! Yes. Everybody do it with me. Okay. All right. So yeah, I like the record. Love it. And there's nothing really for me to complain about or nitpick too much on any of the albums here. That's why I kind of wanted to have the stats ready here. So that was produced by great metal producer Terry Date. And another couple of fun facts about this album, if I may wiki it a little bit here. Oh, I don't use wiki. Actually, most of it does stay up in the brain here, but I did go to wiki to get the release dates. So, you know, I figured I'd, you know, tool around and find some fun things to say about an album. This one, and proof positive that the charts don't matter anymore, because any other era, this would have been a big deal. This album debuted at number 4 the week it came out. So, proof that sales don't matter, and no one talked about that. But technically, that makes this album Slayer's highest charting album to date. So, pardon the pun, not Terry Date. Okay, so that being said, I also dig the fact that this album was recorded at Henson Recording Studios in the heart of Hollywood in Los Angeles, California. Of course, the former Charlie Chaplin Studios, later A&M Records, now the Jim Henson people own it. And yeah, so yeah, Henson Recording Studios. But it's a big, huge destination recording studio. As David Lee Roth, who loves using Henson Studios, likes to say, everybody from Mariah to Metallica record there. So there you go. I wonder what the rate is for that place. All right, we're going to stick with the metal here. We're going to stick with the metal for a couple of more jams here, and then we'll have a little halftime show, so that'll be a good break after that. Another truly quality metal band and album that came out in this last decade came out on June the 24th of 2014, a band that has been climbing the ranks of metal over the last couple of decades, talking about Mastodon. And I truly think that Mastodon came into their ultimate, like, what they're going to be in this decade. Now, don't get me wrong, I love the old albums and everything, and their concept albums and everything like that, but I do dig the fact that they kind of woke up a little bit this decade and was like, hey, we're gonna write, like, songs, like, you know, possibly, potentially even catchy songs that might last a little while. And I dig that because, you know, I've always said it, I've said it a lot, I love pop sensibility and heavy metal. I'm a big song guy. So Mastodon kind of flipping the switch on that was really important to me. Turned me into a bigger fan for sure. And I even went and saw them live for the first time as well. Great live band as well. This was tough because I definitely need to qualify that this entry shares with one of their other albums. I actually cut, just to show you how strong this list is, I cut Emperor of Sand off the list. And that's a killer record, but I just think this one's a little more fun, a little more well-rounded of an album. I think they even came in on the same amount of points, so proof positive. So if you like Once More Round the Sun, which is the album that comes in here at number 97, definitely check out Emperor of Sand as well. But until then, here's one of my favorite songs off of the record on a really strong album. This one's called Halloween.
Come on.
Riot coming in at number 97 of the top 100 albums of the decade here on Rock Strikes 10. That was Mastodon from the album Once More, Round the Sun, and the track Halloween. That album was produced by a guy named Nick Raskolnik. I hope I'm saying that right. I actually had to do the whole dictionary pronunciation thing to try to get that right. So, yeah, that guy's got a great ear, and I have a feeling his name that I'm having a hard time pronouncing will pop up a little bit more here as we go through the top 100 of the decade. But until then, we got one more strong metal album coming up here at number 96, and I think it's the only French act on the list. I think there's pretty strong money on that, that's the only French act. They just don't, I'm sure maybe their rock scene's really good, but it's also probably that language barrier. But thankfully, this band does not have the language barrier, and that's Gojira. Yes, taking the name from the original Godzilla film right there. I don't know how they got the rights to it, but okay, that's cool. Gojira. And another band, much like Mastodon, who really went and played the more accessible card this decade. And I think so far this is the peak of that. So that makes it my favorite Gojira album so far. Was the album Magma that came out on June 17th of 2016. Produced by Joseph Duplantier, who actually is the brother of their drummer Mario. So that's pretty cool, and hell, he's a hell of a producer, because, man, this thing sounds great. I really like the mix here. The band sounds epic and godlike, much like the sound of a monster emerging from water. They just have this huge sound to them, and so yeah, if you're a heavy metal guy and you don't have Magma by Gojira, you're missing out. Go get it right away. This one's definitely law. This will give you a nice sample of what to expect here. This is the title track, Magma. right, there you go. Pushing all your sensibilities to the extreme there. That was Gojira and the title track Magma from the album Magma. Hope you enjoyed that, all 6.5 minutes of it. Gave you a really huge last three songs here of just extreme heavy metal. So, you know, let's get to the halftime show here. Calm down a little bit. And what I like to do on every one of these episodes, all 10 of them, as we do our top 100 here of the decade, you know, just point out some albums that just didn't make the cut. That being said, anything I say here are all really strong albums. They came in at least 80 points or more, actually. There were some albums that ranked at 90 points that I cut off this list. No bullshit. So, you know, I'll just go down and give you a little grocery list here. And we'll just go in order here, year by year, on each episode. So it makes the most sense, and it's the easiest way for me to do it here. So starting off here, some other cool albums from the year 2010. Our friends at Dolly Rots with A Little Messed Up. Really fun record there. Go check that out. Now, Ozzy Osbourne's Scream. I actually saw that tour as well. It was a lot of fun. And I think it's a pretty decent Ozzy album. I think it was about 80 out of 100. There's some really cool songs on there. I really like Gus G's playing on there. And let's hope his next album is at least as enjoyable as this one was for me. Weezer's Hurley. You know, not their best album ever, but not bad either. You know, it's at least 3/4 great. So go check that out, especially if you're a fan. I don't think a lot of people have heard that album anyway. And it's got that weird cover with Hurley from Lost on it. So it's kind of this interesting thing that exists in their catalog. Deftones' Diamond Eyes. I do like me some Deftones, but I've often said that their catalog is very 50-50. The Diamond Eyes album is definitely on the good side of their catalog, so go check that out if you like the Deftones. Really cool independent punk band consisting of some really quality pro wrestlers as well as a band called the High Crusade. The album called It's Not What You Think. You can get that on Bandcamp, so go support a really cool independent rock and roll band there with some punk tendencies. Imperial State Electric's debut album, just self-titled Imperial State Electric. I'm a big fan of this band. You know, it's a good record, but I think one of the reasons it didn't make the cut is because I didn't spend enough time with it. So some of these albums are just guilty of that, so it's not their fault. So somebody might listen to that and be like, how dare you not put that on the top 100? So a super strong album. Go check out the first album by Imperial State Electric. One that was heartbreaking to cut off the list was, I think, one of the best comeback albums of the entire decade was the album by Devo, Something for Everybody. It's a really cool record. If you're already a Devo fan, you're going to love it. You're going to be like, how come I never heard this? Go check it out. And plus, Devo's drummer is currently one of the greatest drummers in the business, Josh Fries. And there's even some live drums on there that he gets to play on. So, yeah, it's that classic Devo sound. Some good modern stuff on there, too. Go check out Devo, Something for Everybody. Unfortunately, one of the great influential metal, hard rock, alternative bands of all time did not make the top 100 this year. But I will say the strongest album that the Melvins put out was back in 2010 with The Bride Screamed Murder. Also a really cool newcomer for this decade and a really high hope for rock and roll, Foxy Shazam. Their self-titled debut album is definitely worth your time. One of my all-time favorites, Prince. His album, easily called 2010, is one of those albums that, and no one heard this, especially in the States, because he literally just put it out like in a magazine or newspaper for free in England, and it still never had an actual physical release in the United States to this date. And it's a real shame because it's one of the best albums he's ever done, really. So you gotta go check this out. It throws back to so much vintage sounding classic Prince stuff while maintaining that sense of timelessness. And yeah, go check out 2010 by Prince. That just barely got cut off the show. That was another one that was a real heartbreaker. And for, you know, classic hard rock and metal guys like I am, there were some really strong releases in 2010, and I can't believe these albums are not on this top 100, but definitely check out these releases. Motorhead, The World Is Yours. Iron Maiden's The Final Frontier. Yeah, I know. That's a good record, too. Go get it. Halford 4. Man, Rob Halford's solo album is fourth one under the Halford moniker, Made of Metal. That thing is a hidden gem in the metal community right now, in my opinion. There's a couple of duds on there, but the strong stuff is super-duper strong. That thing ranked at 86 for me out of 100. That album is super worth your time. Yeah, it's got a terrible album cover with a race car on it, but this thing truly does deliver the goods. If you are any kind of metal fan, go check out Halford 4, Made of Metal. I mean, also, Scorpion, Sting in the Tail, and Rat's Infestation, I kind of put those together because they're like 3/4 good, and the strong stuff is really strong. It's just that the stuff that they don't pull off as well, it's like, man, You know, you could have cut those songs off and the album would have been better because of it, but there's still some killer tracks on Sting in the Tail and Infestation. Go check out those albums. All right, there you go. That's enough of the halftime show there. Let's get back to the countdown. Coming in at number 95, and you'll see why I did the break there after Gojira here. This is our show in a nutshell, if you have to say, like me and the Synaptic. This is why we do the shows that we do. Coming in at number 95 is, I gotta say, without exaggerating too much, this is the best album this artist has recorded in 30 years. Legit. And I was a fan of this guy really early on. Part of my early upbringing of music, this guy was a big deal for sure. You know, after a while, the quality of his albums really fell off. But in the weirdest way, with the help of a true rock icon, really put out an album that I really enjoyed and I kept going back to it. And it's just a fun, cool, basic album, is Get Up by Bryan Adams. Yes, Bryan Adams. Love me some old Bryan Adams. This one is an album, and it basically almost sounds like a duet album of sorts, because Jeff Lynne produced it. Of course, yes, the iconic Jeff Lynne of ELO and the Traveling Wilburys. And much like anything that Jeff Lynne produces, and even Bryan Adams said this himself, he kind of becomes part of the band. And he plays a lot of the instruments on the album. He does like all the background vocals. So it kind of turns into an ELO album at times. And maybe that's another reason why I love it so much. But it's a real surprise album. It's one of those gems of the decade that no one really picked up on. But you really should go listen to this album. It's super short. It's like 9 songs. 35 minutes, something like that. But like I said, Jeff Lynne, whatever Bryan Adams paid to have him be the producer on this was worth every penny. But yeah, this one actually, I could definitely hear this being a Jeff Lynne song. Maybe some people can't, for those of you not familiar with the deeper parts of his catalog, but this is classic Jeff Lynne, and it just happens to be sung by Bryan Adams. And not to discredit anything that Bryan is doing on this record, Bryan co-wrote all the music and lyrics entirely with his songwriting partner Jim Vallance. So between that and the Jeff Lynne stuff, it's a quality rock and roll album. So once again, check it out. This was the opening track and it really sets the tone. This is You Belong to Me. There you go. I bet you didn't think Bryan Adams was going to be in my top one out of the decade, but there he is. Bryan Adams from the album Get Up. That album was released on October 2nd of 2015, produced by the great Jeff Lynne once again. All right, hope you enjoyed that. you know, do some more vintage sounding stuff right here. Of course, with one of my biggest losses of music this decade easily was someone that I got to know around 2005. I had a really huge awakening in my music brain of like funk and soul and just classic R&B. Just had a hell of a journey with it, and I'm still going through it, and I'm never going to get over it. And right around that time, somebody came up to me and said, you know, that's cool that you're doing all this. Don't get me wrong, but have you heard a couple of these cats? And told me about Sharon Jones and some of the other artists that are happening on the Daptone label. And I checked out Sharon Jones, and it was like love at first listen. And instant fan. Can't say enough great things about Sharon Jones. Myself and Nola, we got to see her do an hour-long set opening up for Hall & Oates a few years ago, and that was the only time I got to see her live, but she was unforgettable. She was just singing her heart out, just took off her shoes and danced at the end of I mean she was just crazy. The band was on fire. Great backup singers. I mean, Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings are now truly one of my favorite acts of all time. The handful of albums that we got from her in her lifetime, they are all worth your time. She doesn't have a bad record out there. This is the one that made it onto the list this year. Just proof positive how heartbreaking a lot of these cuts were. It's always a good idea to put on a Sharon Jones record. Her strongest one of this decade, in my opinion, was her album Give the People What They Want. Such an apropos title. It came out on January 14th, 2014. No producer that I could see listed here in my facts, which is kind of strange. Although, it's just one of those things where it just sounds like somebody pushes record and the band just goes. So there you go. Self-produced, let's say. And here's just an unforgettable... If you never heard Sharon Jones, this is your first time hearing Sharon. She's going to make the biggest impression on you with this track here. So Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings with Retreat.
But
Alright, there you go. The late great icon in my eyes, Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings with Retreat off of Give the People What They Want. Thanks again to Randy Brown for giving me his vinyl copy of that. If I may brag a little bit, I actually went and bought the CD over at like a Dallas store that's no longer there, unfortunately. CD Source, one of the best CD stores of all time. I went and bought it and they gave me a free blue-colored 45 of two songs that weren't on the album. I still have it. It's one of my favorite 45s ever, and no, you can't have it. Okay. Speaking of vinyl, go check out I Am Vinyl on cnjradio.com, hosted by Pete LaRussa. All right, getting back into the rock and roller here. This one right here, this band actually put out three albums in this last decade, and I think this is the strongest of the three. It's the only one that made this list. And this band Airborne from Australia, super cool, just balls out Australian rock and roll, the tradition of the great Australian rock and roll bands, of course, like AC/DC, but also like Rose Tattoo and the Skyhooks and all these, and the Angels, all these great bands that people don't know and they should know. So hopefully Airborne will get a few more ears on themselves and those bands. Going through their decade a little bit, their second album that came out, I think it was in 2010. I even forget the name of it. It's just not very good. Then they put out Black Dog Barking as their third album. Much better album. But this one right here really gets back to what made their first album so great. Their first album, Running Wild, I think was an instant classic. This one's really close. It is just, you know, it's sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Especially sex, drinking, and rock and roll is really kind of, yeah, alcohol's a drug. Okay, anyway. But right here you just put this on and you turn it the fuck up and yeah, you just go to town. So why waste time? This is Airborne from their great album that came out on September 23rd of 2016, Breaking Out of Hell. This is Get Back Up.
Yeah.
there you go. Airborne right there with Get Back Up. Tell me you weren't singing along with that by the end of it, like at the top of your friggin' lungs. Really cool rock album there. Breaking Out of Hell. That was produced by Bob Marlette, not by Bob Kulick. There's a little inside baseball for you. But yeah, go get that record. It's super good. The first best rock and roll album, at least the first one I purchased in 2012, back on January 24th of 2012, was by this band. And I knew they were like an up-and-coming band. I didn't get their first record. I listened to it later on after this. But so this is the first album I actually heard and bought by them. And man, I just really loved the obvious campy Queen-esque aspect of them, mixed with some other stuff that's hard to place. Probably some darkness. That could be the fact that Justin Hawkins of the Darkness produced this album as well. And him and the singer of this band wrote Meat Loaf's last great song, California Isn't Big Enough, together. Go check out that song. That thing hits you out of nowhere. It just builds up to that chorus and you're just like, oh wow, okay. But yeah, this band Foxy Shazam put out this really, really fun record at the beginning of 2012 called The Church of Rock and Roll. And what a range this guy has here. So here you go, check it out. Foxy Shazam in all of their glory with Last Chance at Love. Of the top 100 albums of this last decade, according to Me, Myself, and I, Joey, here at Rock Strikes 10. That was Foxy Shazam from the album The Church of Rock and Roll with the song Last Chance at Love. So many cool songs on there. The title track's great. Holy Touch is great. I Like It is great. It's just a fun record. Go get it. And they actually, here's the thing, man. You can't listen to them all, and you can't play them all. That's for damn sure. I'm finding out even just over the last few days that they really quietly put out a third album called Gonzo earlier in the middle of the decade. I completely missed out on it, so I'm gonna go back and listen to it at some point. And if I ever feature something from it on the show and it just blows me away, then I'm gonna apologize for it not being here on this list. But man, I listened to probably damn near 500 new records in the last decade. I wonder if Eddie Trunk can say the same thing. No, I'm just kidding. He's an easy target. But yeah, let's get over to the last song here on this particular part. So we're at number 91. The aforementioned Prince that I talked about on the halftime show, saying how heartbreaking it was to cut off his album 2010. But he did make it here on this list with Hit and Run Phase 2. Technically the very last album that would get released in his lifetime. Just heartbreaking. I'm never going to be over the death of Prince, and I'm never going to get over how great his music is and was. I love Hit and Run Phase 2 as much as I do not like Hit and Run Phase 1. I do not recommend Phase 1 at all, and I recommend Phase 2 quite a bit. I think the first one's a little more of a solo album, and it seems to me, towards the last part of his career, if he was working with somebody else or working with his band again, then he was doing better stuff. I think that the opinions and possibility of, you know, just being motivated by collaborating really probably helped him out. That's what it seems to me, and it's proof positive on the albums, in my opinion. Hit and Run Phase 2 is a very quality Prince album that's really worth your time. It's hard to pick a track to play on here. So many songs I love on it. Extra Lovable, Rock and Roll Love Affair, the last song Big City is super fun. It's a great party jam. But I'm probably not going to have a lot of opportunity to do this here on the show, maybe one or two other times, but it's a top 100 show. That's a lot of songs, so I'm just going to go ahead and go with this one right here, the first track on the album. Because of the time we're living in and what's going on out there, a song like this I think helps in some way. I wish it would help more, but it's out there, and I'm glad it exists. And so I'm glad that somebody like Prince, who, you know, is definitely guilty of living in his own bubble and all this stuff, but his head's not completely in the clouds. Guy was a very charitable philanthropist, and if he saw something wrong in this world, he would at least say something about it. So I'm glad he did with this track here. So closing off part one of our top 100 albums of the decade, this is Prince with Baltimore.
Guitar play. another bloody day. No, we're tired of the crying, the people dying. Let's take all the guns away.
Programming to bring you up to date on a developing situation in Los Angeles.
Closing off part one of our 10-parter top 100 albums of the decade. That was the great Prince with Baltimore from Hit and Run Phase 2. Go check out that record. You know, as heavy-handed as this is as an opening track, you're going to have a lot of fun with this album. So go get it. Don't sleep on it for sure. All right, and another thing we're introducing here, as you heard our disclaimer at the top of the show that was done by my better half, Nola. Nola's also going to take away one of my jobs that I'm happy to hand over. Extremely happy to hand over. It's just one of those things where I can only say it so much, and I wanted to give it a little pizzazz. So from now on, the plugs will be handled by Nola, the N of CNJRadio.com. And so, yeah, I'm going to thank you personally for listening once again, and stay tuned for the best outro in the business. Until I see you next time, take it away, Nola.
We would like to thank you for taking the time to listen to the show today. You can reach us on Facebook or Twitter. We love getting messages and always do our best to respond. Every time you share our show, we give our cat Willow an extra treat. We are on Twitter at RockStrikes10, and the direct email is RockStrikes10@gmail.com. When you search for us, the number 10 is always spelled out. If you would like to support our show financially, we do have Rock Strikes 10 shirts for sale. For $20, we will ship you out a high-quality, soft-as-heck, next-level branded shirt and a button. Send us an email or direct message us for more details or to order. U.S. or APO boxes only, for now. Please help us spread the word about this show and all of our other quality shows by listening, liking, subscribing, and sharing. Our official website is cnjradio.com. You can visit this site for all of the episodes of Rock Strikes 10 going back all the way to episode number 1. While you're on cnjradio.com, please check out our other quality shows, including The Wrestling House Show, a pro wrestling podcast unlike any other, The Synaptic Empire Audio Transmissions, hosted by Randy Brown, a true alternative, The Last Theater, starring Chris, where cinema's trash is treated like treasure, Talking Rock, with Joey and the great Mark Striegel of Talking Metal, and the I Am Vinyl podcast with Pete LaRussa and occasionally Joey. Last but not least, we would like to give an extra special thanks to the great Pete LaRussa and the band Spacebeard for the best outro song in the business. Go to facebook.com/spacebeardband to purchase their music and make sure to tell them that Rock Strikes 10 sent you. We hope you tune into the next show. Until then, have fun.